I'm going to read from Psalm 146, if you want to turn there. Psalm 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, and whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." I was sent an email probably 2 weeks ago now by Elim, my bosses, asking us to pray today, very specifically around COP26 and the issues of climate justice. I assume most of you know about COP26. It's hard to escape it in the news. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you of some things in considering that stuff. And the first thing I want to remind you of is not to trust in princes or mere human beings. Isaiah 2:22 says it like this: "Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostril. Why hold them in esteem?" The psalmist writes, "Don't trust in princes, mere human beings, because they can't save you." And we know there's only one name under heaven by which men can be saved. And for some of us, it's really straightforward to not trust people, because questioning the character of people, he isn't challenging their behavior or nature. The issue the psalmist takes is the limitations and brevity of life. It doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter how good they are, at some point, their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that day, their plans go with them. Whatever they intended to do, whatever they thought about doing, whatever they planned and hoped might happen, it finishes when they do. And we all come to an end. James 4:14 puts it like this: "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Psalm 144 and verse 4 says, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." And the challenge of not trusting in men is not to be suspicious of their activity or their character, but to be crystal clear, even the best men don't last. Those who are worthy of our trust, maybe, won't be here forever. Those who have intended to do good and have great purposes won't last forever. And actually, in that, we need to place our confidence in something else then. Because there's no guarantees on tomorrow. So Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. It's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. There's only one whose purpose is going to last forever, whose plans won't ever end. Psalm 33 and verse 10 says, the Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. And we're going to pray for some world leaders this morning, that they might make wise decisions, that they might make sensible decisions, that they might act justly and do right. But most of us have been around long enough to know political leaders make all sorts of plans. They've got all sorts of ideas, but they're not in office long enough to see half of them pass. And once they're out, someone else is reversing the ideas they had anyway. There's one who's outworking his purpose, his plan, and his will from eternity past to eternity future. He's doing what he purposed and intended to do and what he willed. And so as we come to pray this morning, my trust is not in princes, in political leaders, in people who have authority in government. My trust is in God. That his plan is going to be outworked. The second thing I wanted to remind you of this morning is God made it. God made it. There's lots of different views about how he made it, but I'm going to tell you, you can't be a Christian and not believe God made it. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. God, speaking of himself in Isaiah 45, verse 12, says, it's I who made the heavens and created mankind on it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. He made it. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 10 and verse 12, says, God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. I love that verse. Let me explain why I love that verse. Mankind spent a lot of money and a lot of time exploring the heavens. So last year, the world spent $447 billion on space exploration. Just last year, $447 billion. There's 7.9 billion people on the planet. We could each have $56 billion. That's how much is being spent to explore space. And the best and brightest thinkers over many years have been trying to explore space. So in 1957, Sputnik 64 years ago, the USSR sent a rocket into space. This great achievement for mankind. But in 1609, Galileo first used a telescope to explore space. And from ancient times, we've studied the stars. And here's me quoting NASA's website from this morning. We divide the universe into two things: the observable universe and the unobservable universe. The observable universe is everything we've managed to sort of find, explore, see, or in somehow discover. We don't believe it's the entirety of the universe, but it's the bit we think we know something about. We divide the observable universe into three categories: known matter, dark matter, and dark energy. We're not really clear on what dark matter and dark energy are, but they make up 96% of the observable universe. So that leaves us left with what's called the known universe. It's 4%. 4%. Mankind has spent billions and billions and billions of dollars year after year, marveled at the heavens since its creation. And what we're confident we know about is 4%. Yet he stretches the heavens out by his understanding. We think we've got some knowledge sometimes. All of the advancements we've made. We have people living in space and have done for a few decades now on the International Space Station. And yet we know 4% of what's going on out there. But with his understanding, he stretches out the heavens. And he sustains it. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You preserve all of them. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He made it, and he sustains it. He's upholding it by the word of his power, and he's preserving it. And there's a danger sometimes that in a world full of panic about the future, we don't necessarily give God his proper place. He made the world. He's preserving it and sustaining it. He's upholding it by his words. He controls the elements. He determines the borders of the seas. Third thing I wanted to remind you of is God is concerned with and involved in people's circumstances. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. God is concerned and involved in people's circumstances. He's upholding the cause of the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, setting prisoners free, giving sight to the blind, lifting up those who are bowed down, loving the righteous, watching over the foreigner, sustaining the fatherless and the widow, whilst he upholds the universe by the power of his word. Whilst he upholds the universe by the power of his word. And we're in danger sometimes of making God both too big and too small at the same time. He's too big to be concerned with the affairs of my life. There's too much stuff going on in the world that, you know, he would be bothered about my circumstances, my hunger, my welfare. But also, there's so much stuff going on in the world that how can God possibly have his way? And apparently, he's big enough to sustain the universe with his word. And he's close enough to provide food for the hungry, to give sight to the blind, to set prisoners free, to watch over the foreigner. This is some God. He's some God. Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. It's an interesting statement. But there's actually not a challenging season you go through that he's absent from. There's not a time of life where he's not present. In the trouble and the heartache and difficulty, he is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 121 and verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It's a good place to get your help from. That's a good place to get your help from. The one who made everything, he probably knows how to fix it. He probably knows how to fix it. The one who knows men's hearts probably knows how to deal with the situation. If you're looking for help this morning, if you need some help, can I urge you? Don't trust in princes. Don't look to people. The best source of help you can have is him. The best source of help you can have is him. There's lots of people who will do their best for you. They won't ever outdo God. They won't ever outdo God. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And there's a group of world leaders gathered together on our doorstep, sort of, to discuss how they might save our planet, how they might preserve the earth, how they might bring about justice. I'm going to go to God for help. I'm going to go to God for help. I'm not going to them. That's not an attack on their character. It's no disrespect to them. But there's one who's perfect in all of his ways, who does no wrong. And Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because he's a God who's committed to helping. And he's interested in the circumstances of your life. And let me make this observation to you. Increasingly, it seems, we live in a world where if you don't see things the same way I do, you're wrong. And with social justice issues often, we're impassioned by certain situations. We find ourselves drawn naturally to certain things that stir our hearts, that stir our spirits, and we think we need to do something about that. And then we find out everybody else doesn't see it the same way as us. And we wonder what's wrong with them. What's wrong with them? Why don't they see it the same way as us? God is concerned with the circumstances of people's lives. And very often he's committed to using other people to help them. And here's the reality. He's big enough to hold all of the social justice issues properly weighed. We're probably not. There are lots of people who are really concerned about the issues of climate justice. Let me just be very honest with you. It doesn't concern me massively when I get out of bed in the morning. But that doesn't make them wrong. I'm more concerned about the people who won't eat today. The people who don't have clean water. The oppressed. Be careful that just because you don't see the world in the same way as other people, you don't write off their view as illegitimate. Because he's upholding the cause of the oppressed and giving food to the hungry. The Lord is setting prisoners free and giving sight to the blind. The Lord's lifting up those who are bowed down, loving the righteous. He watches over the foreigner, sustains the fatherless and the widow. He's able to do it all. And because you don't see the world in the same way I do, we might not necessarily agree on what the primary social justice issues are of our day. What we need to do now. It's just a reflection of the bigness of God. There's lots of stuff that needs to be righted. And he's able to do it all. And the final thing I wanted to remind you of is that the Lord reigns forever. The Lord reigns forever. Whatever's happening in the world, whatever's going on in the circumstances of life, the Lord reigns forever. He's not any less in control today than he was when he spoke creation into being. He's not any less in control today than when he parted seas. When he commanded fish to swallow a man. He's not any less in control today. He reigns forever. He reigns forever. And humanity, at its best, is not that great. For me, one of the key issues of the pandemic we're still sort of in is that us people, with all of our science and all of our understanding, with all of our ability to fix things and sort things out, our whole world got shut down by something we couldn't even see. Our whole world got shut down. And we're 18 months down the road. Not sure when the end's coming. It's not to undermine the work people have done. It's not to deny that scientists have made great efforts. But at our best, with all of our focus on something, we still haven't fixed this. And there's a danger we get halfway through this and then we think we're going to fix the world, apparently. He made it. He sustains it. He is the source of our help. Because he reigns. I want to go to the one who's in charge. Not any middleman. And so we're going to take some time to pray. Because there are serious challenges. There are people whose lives are affected by the fact the climate's changing. They're losing homes and businesses. They're suffering. We want political leaders to make wise decisions. And thank God for the people that he has placed in government I want them to make right decisions. I want to pray for them to have wisdom. But I want to pray that we'd be a people of hope. That we would communicate truth in a time of panic, where people are in despair, worried about the future. Here's the reality. It's going to come to an end. There will be a day where the skies part and Christ returns in glory and every knee will bow. Recognizing the lordship of Jesus. But that day is a day of hope for me. I'm not worried about the end of the world. I'm not concerned about a time that comes to an end. I'm looking forward to a day where there are no more tears, where I don't worry about anything, where I don't have a concern, where justice is the primary outworking of everything, where everything's done right and properly. I want to live in the perfection he's created for me. And so I'm not panicked or concerned this morning. And we need to be a people who are declaring that. I'm meant to hasten Christ's return. And so my focus of attention is on him. I'm looking to him. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. We're going to take some time to pray. I'm going to invite you, as you feel, to lead us in that. But we're a people of hope. My trust's not in princes this morning. My trust's in a God who has an everlasting purpose, who's doing something eternally, whose ways are perfect. And if I'm concerned about the climate, I'm going to go to the one who made it and sustains it. And I'm going to speak to him about it. And maybe I need to shut up for a while, little while, and let him speak to me about it. He's actually concerned with people's circumstances. And he's involved in them. And in righting the injustices, dealing with the situation. Because he reigns. I wonder if some of you would like to lead us in prayer.